Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
So a lot of the people's business at the State House is actually handled by unpaid interns. So, for example, State Representative Tammy Gouveia of the 14th Middlesex District has one full-time staffer but could have up to three interns at a given time. And that means that dozens of little decisions every day that affect all the people in these different congressional offices are made mostly by those who can afford not to make money, not to get paid. And if you want the precious experience of working in our legislature, it will basically cost you. So former interns want to change that. Niharika Sharma is a recent former intern in Representative Tammy Gouveia's office, hence the example there. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And Guillermo Creamer Jr. is the co-founder and a board member now of Pay Our Interns, which is an advocacy organization. And I think, Guillermo, it's safe to say advocating to
pay our interns. There. Absolutely.
And we've had you on the show before, so welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Niharika, I'm going to start with you, and I want you to just talk us through what your responsibilities were when you were an intern in the State House and how many hours a week you worked.
Yeah, so I worked 3 full days a week, so that was about 24 hours. And so my responsibilities really varied depending on what the office needed. So I did some constituent work, logging emails that constituents sent us and, responding to them. I did legislative research, so preparing research on bills or our key priority areas and helping write testimony for Rep. Gouveia to deliver. And I also, helped create social media content, so really did a lot of different things. And a big part of that was because the responsibilities in a rep's office can't be done by a single person. And so in a single staffer office, you really need more than one person to do everything and to make sure that constituents are being heard and responded to.
All right. So you were in a little bit of a different situation in that at the time you were in a Master's of Social Work at Boston University. And most people would not know that when you're in a Master's of Social Work program, you're required to do field work, which is internship work alongside your studies in the later years.
Yep.
So I'm interested, though, does that mean that the non-24 hours you were in class the other days of the week?
Yeah, so I was taking a full-time class load, which is 5 classes. I was also working 3 full days a week at the State House, and I was working 2 part-time jobs to be able to mitigate some of my living expenses.
What kind of part-time jobs do you mind me asking?
I was TAing, and I was doing some department work just for a few hours a week.
Were you exhausted?
I was, yes.
And did you have enough money to make ends meet?
I would say that I was very privileged and that I knew going into grad school what my situation was. And so I had to take out more loans to be able to pay my living expenses. But had I been paid for my intern work, I would have been able to take out much fewer loans.
So Niharika Sharma is a former unpaid intern at the State House, still here in the room with us. Also Guillermo Creamer, who's the co-founder and now on the board of Pay Our Interns. Sounds pretty typical, Guillermo, what
yeah.
we just heard.
Look, unfortunately, first of all, happy National Intern Day.
Happy National Intern Day.
I want to make sure that we recognize that. Today is National Intern Day for all the interns across the country. When we started the organization, I also was an unpaid intern, and I was an unpaid intern in Congress.
At the federal level.
At the federal level. And so ultimately, the conversations that we were hearing were people just couldn't afford to do this. And what was happening was we had that conversation of what does our intern class look like at the federal level? And the answer was it was predominantly white in many cases, and most of all, individuals who could afford to be unpaid. It costs a lot of money to be an unpaid intern. And so when you have that barrier where you have to pay thousands of dollars or, in your case, take out student loans in order to cover that, not everyone can do that. And so you have an intern class that is not reflective of what the government should look like. It's not reflective of what the people look like throughout the country. And it's the same here in Massachusetts.
So what costs us? I talked at the top about the fact that people in the offices, they make lots of little decisions every day. So to illustrate what it means to have, and I'll use my own words, a kind of myopia from limited types of lived experience, among interns, and I'll say that, Niharika, you're nodding at that description, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what does it cost us? Give us an example of something you saw, Guillermo, when you were an intern, where you thought, if we had a more diverse intern base with people with more lived experience, more socioeconomic lived experience, this would be different.
Look, I mean, when you're looking at the intern to congressional pipeline, you know, it's the same thing here at the State House. You're looking at an intern who is here for the experience. And if they're bringing lived experiences, okay, in my case, I can bring to the table, you know, what it was like living off food stamps, what it was like living in an apartment, being a renter. You know, if your intern class is full of individuals that come from the private school sector that have never had to worry about going hungry, you don't have that lived experience there at the table. And so I think interns bring that lived experience. And so if your interns don't have that variety, then you're not looking at the full picture here. And I think that that's what the interns really bring. I mean, look, when you talk about, you know, Duncan says America runs on Duncan, right? All these offices run on interns. Like, that's just a fact. If we were to just not have interns, they wouldn't be there. And so you've got a couple of people who will say, well, they're there for the experience. Yes, but experience doesn't pay the bills.
Go ahead.
That's not what happens.
Go ahead, Niharika.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that oftentimes we think of academic credit as being enough in lieu of a payment, but why do those things have to be mutually exclusive, right? If the House of Representatives in Massachusetts can't run without interns, then they should be paying their interns. And I think that, to me, that speaks to the larger culture of how we value workers, and that's why State House workers are working really hard now to unionize, because they're recognizing that we can't value our interns and create an environment where intern work and labor is seen as essential without also protecting staffers.
So you've brought up, and we may come back to this, but I want to distinguish this for listeners. Two things that are going on. One is the push to pay unpaid interns. The other is a push for paid staff at the Massachusetts State House to unionize in order to receive better pay and benefits. And of course, and they have voted to unionize. I want to emphasize that. And of course, those are related things. Today, we're talking about the unpaid interns. And I'm gonna push back a little bit here. We have here in the studio Guillermo Creamer Jr., who's the co-founder of Pay Our Interns, and Niharika Sharma, who's a former intern in Representative Tammy Gouveia's office and a current student at Boston University School of Public Health. What about the argument, pay the interns and something else doesn't, I mean, limited resources, what are you going to take that money away from? Somebody loses if the interns, and I'm framing it this way on purpose, quote unquote, win. Guillermo.
Look, I mean, we are losing when interns are unpaid. We are losing lived experiences having a seat at the table. We are losing a proper pipeline to ensure that the next Tammy Gouveia comes from the experiences that are in the community. You know, I think that that's the important thing that we need to be pushing here. We are already losing by not paying these individuals, because it costs, if the cost of being an unpaid intern is so high and it's so hard to achieve, then you are leaving out such a large demographic of individuals who just simply cannot afford to go into this workspace.
And Niharika, do you think Guillermo's right that people who intern go on to be staffers, go on to run, go on to be our next elected representatives? Are we not only losing representation in those decisions that interns make, but losing future elected officials who provide greater representation?
Absolutely. I mean, I think interning in this context opens doors for people, and people who are passionate about public service get their start interning. Oftentimes it's really competitive to get a job in the State House, and so if you've already worked there, it makes a, you know, it opens the door for you just that much more. So when we're not paying our interns, we're limiting who is able to access that opportunity. But I would also add on top of that, you know, something that I found really frustrating is that I only found out a couple of months ago that the House and the Senate for fiscal year 22 did appropriate money to pay their interns and just haven't acted on it. So, you know, this argument of someone's losing, well, the money is there, and it's just not being, yeah, and it's just not being distributed. So what does that mean?
Explain that, Guillermo, not like you're personally responsible for it, but if there's been this push and now there's $50,000 for fiscal 21-22 earmarked, but it doesn't get spent, how does that happen?
Right. So at that point, you got to be looking at, so who's in charge right now? you know, where is this coming from? Why did the Senate President's office not act on this?
And so you would say the buck stops with State Senate President Karen Spilka.
Ultimately, yes. You know, I think we need to have that frank conversation where it's like, where did this get lost? Senator Sonia Chang Diaz that put forth an amendment to increase that number, because we all know $50,000 is not going to cover a proper even stipend for intern pay. But ultimately, you know, how do we not do this again in the following fiscal year, the one that we're entering now? And how do we ensure that we're creating an equitable paid internship program so that we're ensuring that individuals of all sectors of Massachusetts are able to actually take internships on Beacon Hill?
So what are you hearing from the State House? What's the response here?
Look, I mean, ultimately, when you talk to an elected official one-on-one, they'll say, of course we want to pay our interns, you know, but many of them just don't know what direction they should be going in. They don't know, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, is it just the back of the napkin formula of like, how much should we be actually allocating here? Pay our interns was successful in Congress because we started our conversation about who paid and who didn't, because there were offices that were paying their interns out of their own budget.
At the federal level.
And so when you're looking at the state level, you know, you just have these offices that are very limited in terms of their budget and very limited in terms of the staffing that they can have. So they need that allocation in order to make this a reality.
So I want to be super specific about this. So what you're saying is that at the federal level, there are certain just operating budgets that the different offices for different Congress people have. Some of them had enough money and chose to pay interns. Others didn't. And when you shined daylight on that, it led to an allocation so that all interns would get paid.
With an asterisk, I will say that. Okay. So currently what's happening is that all 535 congressional offices have access to a budget to pay their interns. And that's thanks to the advocacy efforts of Pay Our Interns. When we shed light on the fact that, you know, the majority of congressional offices were not paying their interns, we asked why. And ultimately, it was because there wasn't the money to do so. Some offices were just more strategic about it. But now every single congressional office has a ability to tap into a line item budget in the appropriations bill to pay its interns.
Okay, so Niharika Sharma, former unpaid intern in Representative Tammy Gouveia's office, and I should note Gouveia is running for lieutenant governor. It's just good to note that. Are you in touch with other unpaid interns now, and do they tell you that they're making any headway in further progress at the Massachusetts State House?
Yeah, so this is something that we talked very openly with, and I feel so lucky that I worked in an office where Rep. Gouveia herself acknowledged that we should be getting paid, and you know, we had an open conversation about what it means for our intern class not to be getting paid, and I think that they're, you know, we've been talking about this, and we're trying to make headway, and they're currently trying to make headway thanks to staffers who discovered the money that had already been appropriated. But I think until leadership acts on it and creates the larger system for how the money is going to be distributed and all of that, there's not really much that we can do. So we're really waiting on Senate President Karen Spilka and House Speaker Ron Mariano to do something about this.
So that's the call to action here. You know, at this point in time, we need not just the representatives to speak up, but we also need residents to say, hey, this actually is important. And there's importance behind it because you want to make sure that you have people from your communities with the ability to actually intern in these offices, because they're going to bring the experiences that you have to the offices that's necessary to make these decisions.
All right. Guillermo Creamer Jr. is the co-founder and now a board member of Pay Our Interns. And Niharika Sharma is a current Master of Public Health student, recent Master of Social Work graduate, and a former intern in Representative Tammy Gouveia's office. Gouveia is running for lieutenant governor and represents the 14th Middlesex District. Thanks to both of you for joining us on National Intern Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.